After years of dysfunction within the building and code enforcement at the village of Spring Valley, the Hochul administration deputized the Rockin County government to take over the local building department functions, setting up for a potential legal fight over local rule. For more on the issue, including the state's role in this process, we're joined by State Senator Elijah Reichland Melnick, a freshman Democrat whose district includes the village of Spring Valley. Welcome back to the show, Senator.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
So can you fill listeners in who maybe aren't from the Rockland County area on the problematic history of Spring Valley's building and code enforcement, which, along with the Department for the Town of Ramapo, which includes the village, has had state monitors since 2017?
Absolutely, and I appreciate you covering this topic. So for those who are not familiar, Spring Valley, although it's a village and we think of villages as small communities, is a very large village. It's got a population of over 30,000 people in the recent census and has been rapidly growing, and a lot of the village feels much more urbanized. It's sort of an urban village in many respects. It's a very diverse community, a large growing immigrant population and a large Haitian population, and a large Orthodox Jewish population as well. So it's a wonderful melting pot, great community and wonderful people there, but has definitely struggled at the local government level to meet some of the minimum standards the state has set for fire and building safety code enforcement. So actually, you can go back to 2015, and the state, after a history of complaints, issued an order urging the village and really ordering them to comply with some of the minimum standards for conducting fire safety inspections, building maintenance inspections, and inspecting multifamily and public buildings. They were not successful in complying with that order. So 2 years later, the Department of State and the village actually entered into a memo of agreement to put in place an oversight officer who would be responsible for observing the village's code enforcement, although not actually doing the administering and the enforcing themselves, but making sure they were meeting the codes. So this oversight's continued. That started in 2017. This year, early in 2021, back in March, there was a devastating fire at an adult home in the village of Spring Valley, broke out in the middle of the night. Astonishingly, thanks to the local volunteer fire departments who rushed to the scene, only one resident of the facility was actually killed in that fire, which could have been a mass casualty event. But tragically, a volunteer firefighter, Jared Lloyd, who was in his 30s with two young kids, was also killed in that fire. In the wake of this fire, the district attorney started investigating. There are questions about low water pressure, questions whether this building had been inspected properly. And actually, over the last few months, the DA has issued several indictments in connection with this, including to the head of the building department and to the chief building inspector, have both been indicted for offering false instruments for filing and basically falsifying documents which they presented. And so this all led up to a combo of this recent incident and the building department's failure to be able to persuade the Department of State that they actually were conducting fire safety inspections of multifamily housing and public buildings as required, has led to the status quo right now, where the Department of State let the village know they basically had 90 days to get their act together. And if they don't have that together, then the county will assume this coming February, they will assume the responsibility to take over the fire and building code enforcement for the village of Spring Valley.
The failure to meet minimum standards as it pertains to code and building enforcement, is that a product of not enough resources or simply how resources are being deployed, say, not focusing on certain buildings or just not caring about hitting these standards?
I don't know if I have the information to be able to say exactly what's gone wrong within Village Hall to lead to this situation. I do think that the fact there's been several indictments of senior people in the building department by the local district attorney speaks certainly to what was going on in the department. Of course, they need to be charged. I mean, they've been charged. They have not been convicted yet, but based on the indictments from the DA, there certainly seems to have been not just a failure of resources, but certainly a failure of the people in charge to carry out their duties in a non-criminal fashion. Like any village, and you know, Spring Valley is predominantly a low-income area, I'm sure that resources are a factor. I know other communities such as Newburgh and Mount Vernon, which have some similar demographics to Spring Valley, have struggled as well with resources. So I don't want to write that off. But when you have indictments coming down, there's obviously more at play than just lack of money.
Considering the village's track record when it comes to this issue, what should the state be looking for in terms of proof that they finally got their act together? Because submitting a plan, for example, that says we're going to do X, Y, and Z could just end up being lip service. So do we need to see some sort of work by them to actually demonstrate that they can provide enforcement that meets minimum standards?
Frankly, I think it's hard for me to imagine, given this track record, what the village could do to prove that things would be different going forward. Again, because you've got indictments of senior building department officials, and that speaks to a culture within village government and within the building department, certainly, that's not conducive to effective enforcement of local building and state minimum fire codes. And there's a reason that every volunteer fire company in Rockland County that has had to deal with issues in Spring Valley will tell you it is a chronic problem. There are buildings that are illegally subdivided where firefighters' lives are put at risk. There are buildings, as it appears to be the case, based on the indictments from the DA with this adult facility, which had not been properly inspected, where the fire alarms may have been turned off. And that's actually not on the building department in any daily basis to make sure fire alarms are on. And there have been indictments of people involved with running this building for disconnecting fire alarms and conducting themselves in a way that made this tragedy more likely. So I think that we need to see what the county is able to do, but I have to think that having a effective and competent, non-criminally involved set of enforcers at the county level will make a difference, and I hope it does, because right now, as we saw from this fire, and there have been others, many luckily have not led to loss of life, but loss of property, it's a matter of time before there is a mass casualty incident in a village like this where, you know, the state found if you had places of public gathering, houses of worship, multifamily dwellings with dozens of apartments that hadn't been inspected in more than 3 years. A lot can go wrong in 3 years. And to put people's lives at risk, there's a reason that we've got state building and fire codes that all communities around New York State need to follow. And that is because through experience, hard learned, if you don't do this, the risk of a mass casualty event or a true tragedy simply increases year over year.
In case you're just joining us, you're listening to the Capitol Press Room, and we're speaking with State Senator Elijah Reichland Melnick, a Hudson Valley Democrat. So your colleague, Senator James Skoufis, who leads the Senate Committee on Investigations and Government Operations, did a deep dive into the issue of building and code enforcement and held hearings on the issue, and you and the Assembly have passed laws that revamp some of the enforcement laws that were on the books. How, if at all, do you think the changes that have been implemented at the state level could make a difference for not just communities in Spring Valley, but communities all over the state where there might be concerns about not just the efficiency of the enforcement that's being done, but whether it's being done at all and whether people should feel safe in, say, you know, public buildings?
I think that the laws we're trying to pass in the Senate and the Assembly's passed some, not all yet, are going to be really significant. As you know, and your listeners may not, I had worked with Senator Skoufis as his legislative director prior to getting elected to the Senate myself, and worked with him in this committee on this code enforcement report, which looked at municipalities not only in Rockland and Orange, but you know throughout the state and Westchester up in Albany. Code enforcement is a problem that's not unique to Spring Valley. Sometimes it's an issue where it seems like here, where there was actually criminal behavior that was carried out. Other cases, it's simply lack of resources, lack of support. When we did this report back in 2019, the city of Mount Vernon, which has nearly 70,000 people, had at that moment one code enforcement officer who was out inspecting properties. I mean, there are small villages out there that have more than that. And it's difficult. It's expensive. It's hard to find qualified people, but it's absolutely essential and life-saving. And so in response to this, there's been legislation introduced in the Senate, which some has moved, some has not, some's passed in the Assembly, some has not, but to increase the minimum number of code enforcers based on population, to you know change some of these laws that allow for code enforcers who have no certification or only their very provisional one to continue enforcing building and fire safety codes potentially for years without getting fully trained. There are currently on the books a lot of maximum fines that judges can impose when there's a violation, but there aren't minimum fines. And in many cases, what we saw is that judges, after potentially a year or more of a municipality trying to crack down on a slumlord or a property owner who is behaving irresponsibly, that property owner might only get hit with a $1,000 fine or a $1,500 fine, and it becomes the cost of doing business. These are some of the things that we need to change, and I'm hopeful that some of the laws that are being passed and increasing the fines, especially when conversions are done illegally that end up risking the life of a first responder. These are things which will make a difference. It's going to take some time for them to filter through. But as a state, we have delegated responsibility to local governments to enforce building and fire codes. That's why this is a big step to have a county have to take that over. We mostly have a home rule state. Local governments do these responsibilities, but it doesn't mean the state should just step back and let a local government handle it with no oversight.
Well, in terms of that local responsibility, do you think there's any merit to giving counties sole responsibility for enforcement? Because one, you'd have more standardization by having, you know, fewer entities responsible as opposed to all the local governments around the state. And you could also potentially save money by sharing these services. So is that something we should consider?
I think like anything else where you're looking at the balance of local control versus more centralization, you have to trade that off. If you do something centralized at a county level, it's a good bet it's going to be cheaper, but you do lose some of that local control. And it's the same whether you're talking police services, building services, any of the other government services out there. And a lot of folks do like having, at a village or a town level, the ability to make these sorts of decisions. So it's something to look at. I think the home rule principle in New York is very strong. I'm not coming to Albany and suggesting we should change that dramatically and have counties or the state stepping in places by and large that we have not been. And as somebody who's come out of local government myself, I was a former village trustee and served on a planning board. I am mindful that there are values to having a local town or village or a city be able to have this control, but I think effective oversight from New York State, and if need be, as this is, you know, having the Rockland County take over for a village that was unable to meet these basic standards, that's something we shouldn't be afraid to use. I view the state in this role, in the Secretary of State's office, it's a law enforcement of a type. And so if you see somebody breaking a law and you're a member of law enforcement, you need to pull them over. I mean, if you're a cop and you see somebody driving erratically down the road in the middle of the night, you're going to pull them over, and you might end up having their license taken away if they're proved to be DWI. And I think this is basically what's happened here. Either this is a village that was pulled over essentially multiple times by the Department of State for behavior that was quite reckless. A tragedy did occur, killed two people, and so now they're losing their license for a little while and having the county take that responsibility.
And finally, as someone who served in local government, are you concerned at all that this is going to set precedent for the state to come in and take over or direct larger government entities to take over smaller government entities, maybe in situations that aren't as egregious as Spring Valley? Could we be heading toward a slippery slope?
I don't see it that way, to be honest. I think that it hopefully is a one-off case, but it certainly is not a common situation where you have a building department that and a village that over year after year after year simply failed to meet the minimum standards, even knowing they were, you know, being reviewed by the state and actually oversight. You know, they had, just to give an example, they were required to submit monthly what was their fire safety and property maintenance inspection report, and basically submit to the DOS what were they doing, what properties had they been inspected. They didn't submit that for July, for August, for September, for October of this year. And to simply blatantly ignore what are clear responsibilities under the law while you're already under oversight, I highly doubt this is going to be a slippery slope, because I highly doubt, and I hope that there are not many other governments out there in New York State that have this sort of a track record. This was a last resort for New York State. This was something which was 4 to 5 years in the making based on the village's pattern and practice over a number of different years, over different administrations. And the fact that this could not get their act together and could not clean this up, That's what led to this. So are there other governments out there, if they've done the same thing and have this same history of reckless behavior by a building department that puts lives at risk, then sure, the state should step in and should ask a county to take over. My hope is there are not that many governments out there that have this sort of a track record.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO, a federation of 3,000 unions fighting for working people by keeping New York State union strong. UnionStrongNY.com for more information.